Hi, I'm Sophie, and welcome to this podcast on effective communication. In this episode, we're exploring speaking from the heart and how to become more authentic at work. So Chris, I often feel like I'm a different person at work. It's like I'm only being part of myself. Do you know why that might be?
Well, firstly, that's really normal, right? We have different sides of our personality, and in different circumstances, we choose to show different sides. The problem comes when it's driven by our fears or insecurities. So you'll often find, if I say, so which one is the real you, which is the closest version of you, you'd say, well, the one that's at home. So then the question is, well, okay, that person that we see in your home life, why is it not okay to be that person in work? And then what tends to come out is a whole load of assumptions and rules that we make about the workplace and a whole load of insecurities and fears. And one of the things when I'm working with senior executives, I notice that they have a certain persona, or even sometimes a certain aura that they carry around. And then if you ever see them, like, let's call it like offline, like, you know, in a moment with their family or if they've got kids, you see this whole other person. And sometimes I find myself thinking, can we not have that person, you know, actually in work? Because that's someone I'd really like to work with. Whereas the other version of you, I find a little bit more difficult. So it is entirely normal. It's also something that's kind of pretty well recognized. There's even been fairly recently a previous prime minister in the UK who was not popular in role, was interviewed sometime after being in that position. And in the interview, she was completely herself and chatty and conversational. And the interviewer said at the end, maybe if we'd seen more of this person when you were in your office, you know, the outcome might have been differently. So it's just like, even at the highest levels, people kind of trip over that sense of feeling, who should I be?
Yeah, I really feel like that. I think I'd really love to be more authentic at work, but I just don't know how to start. And it kind of feels very scary.
Yes, I guess maybe scary fits with that previous point, right? Is there a risk attached? And that's probably the reason that we end up playing safe. So if you want to think about the how-to, the strategies, I always go to an old psychological model called Johari's Windows, based on two guys, one guy called Joe, one guy called Harry. And they created a model that talked about what you know versus what others know. And their argument is that the stuff that you know and I know is this, it's the open arena that we can talk about it. You know it about me, I know it about me, so it's very easy to discuss it. Where we have a problem is when things sit in the blind spot, which is where you know something about me, but I don't know it about me. That's where we tend to find reaction to feedback or something. So you tell me something about myself, I didn't know that about me, so I react kind of negatively to it. The other area is kind of the hidden self. That's things that I know about me that you don't get to know, because I haven't shown you. So if you take that model, there's two ways that we can go about, I guess, getting closer to authenticity. In the model, you talk about expanding the arena, the I know and you know part. And the first is to ask for feedback more. So to ask people, how do you perceive me? And that reduces the blind spot. And then to not be too reactive when you hear it. Often you hear compliments, but just to accept that. So by doing that, you're reducing the blind spot. You're bringing more into the available conversation between you and the other person. And then conversely, down the bottom, the hidden part of you, well, how do we deal with that? Well, by disclosing a bit more, by talking more about us and our lives and things we wouldn't normally talk about. And when we do that, people start to realize a more rounded picture of you. And that can make a huge difference to the quality of the relationships around you. So there are two strategies that come out of that model, both of which really help.
Yeah, I really hear that. I think that would make sense. And I'd really love to be more open at work. I feel like it's forcing me to be a bit more vulnerable, which again feels a little bit unknown territory. I feel a bit scared that if I share something about my personal life or what I like doing, it just could be used against me or just feel really unprofessional. It's something I want to do more of, but I'm not sure how.
Okay. So simple questions, what would you expect from others? You know, and in particular, if you're in a leadership role, would you want your team to come to you and talk about things that are going on in their life, things that are causing them stress? And if your expectation of others is that they speak openly with you and they share openly with you, then probably we have to be one of the first movers in that. So we have to take the risk to show people it's safe to do it. So somewhere someone has to take an act of leadership. This ties to the idea of psychological safety. How safe is it? So again, if you're a leader, part of your responsibility is to create the environment where people do feel safe. And that's sometimes more of a journey than a single moment in time. So you can constantly be increasing the level of psychological safety in teams. And just as you were asking, I was reminded of a few years ago, I was asked to do a keynote talk in Cairo. And it was quite a big deal for me. I spent a long time writing a very professional, powerful presentation. And I felt it was a little bit dry and I wanted to put a story in. And in the moment, a story came to me about a time when I lost my grandfather. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I should really talk about that. But and I needed something to just bring a bit more humanity into my presentation. So I thought, I'll give it a go. Well, I did a 45-minute keynote talk. And in that 45 minutes, I told a 2 or 3 minute story about my grandfather. At the end of that 2 and 3 minute story, people were visibly emotional. They were coming up to me at the end after I finished and hugging me and saying how powerful it was. And the thing was, I spent 45 minutes doing really good, solid psychological content that I'd spend years, you know, developing my expertise on that topic. But the 2 or 3 minute story that I gave about my grandfather was the thing that clearly impacted people. So much so that that was the thing they wanted to come and talk to me about. So I would say that the risk reward is heavily in the favor of reward. And yeah, there's a risk, but it's really hard to see meaningful downsides to opening up and being a bit more vulnerable in work. You know, your worst fears are fairly unlikely to happen.
Yeah, that story really resonates. I think if I just think about moments of connection, I guess, that I have at work, they always come from someone sharing something and then that being met with openness and then that continuing and being a moment, I guess, where you're connecting as humans as opposed to colleagues. I guess it's back to that sort of feeling like you felt in that presentation around, I feel like I wear a mask at work sometimes. And I sometimes wonder, is that okay? Like, is that okay for me to just bring that part of me to work? Or should I be looking to bring my whole self the whole time? You know that saying, bring your whole self to work. Is that what we should be striving for?
Right. So let's make it okay to put boundaries up that you feel are necessary, because you and I don't know the environments that all people might be in. And there may well be some environments where people don't feel safe, or the circumstances that people have in their lives that say, you know what, I'm not comfortable talking to my coworkers about deeply personal issues that are going on right now. Of course, that's okay, right? Is that better than being able to talk about it? No, it would be better to be able to talk about it. But is it completely appropriate that there may be some things that you don't want to share? Yes. I mean, you know, we have the right to have boundaries and privacy and look after ourselves. In the same way, we should constantly aspire to being as whole a person as we can be in work. If we're leading a team, we should aspire to creating as open an environment in that team as we possibly can. And that is an ongoing journey. Again, it's not a moment in time. The teams will constantly fluctuate in their level of security and confidence. And we, as a leader, need to be constantly inviting people to keep trusting in each other and opening up and talking about things. I've definitely fallen on the wrong side of that. When I was starting in public speaking and running training sessions, I did a lot of work in the Middle East, and a lot of the cultures I was working with are quite hierarchical. Age mattered, and I was young. And one of the first questions people was asked me is, are you married? And I'd often say no. And I could feel a judgment attached to being a young, unmarried guy. And so at one point I was wearing a ring and someone said, oh, you're married. And I said, oh, yeah, I am. And I noticed then somehow I was granted a higher level of acceptance. And so for a while I started pretending I was a married person. It just seemed to make my life easier. So, yeah, it was a mask I wore, which built my confidence, but it was also a lie. It was an insecurity that I was not comfortable standing in front of that group and just saying, you know, yeah, I'm me, and I'm, you know, 30 years old and unmarried. So yeah, again, let's normalize it, but let's not aspire to it, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, as you were speaking, what came to mind is that it feels like there's a need for us to be authentic and share more and be open as much as we feel capable to, as much as we feel safe to, but that we also need to be empathetic to others when they come to us. And if we do both of those things, then there's almost like a ripple effect that happens and psychological safety starts to be sort of apparent.
Yeah, that's the ideal, right? We shouldn't underestimate, I don't want to use hyperbole here, we shouldn't underestimate the crisis of trust that exists. There's a report that comes out every year by a company called Edelman, and they produce the Edelman Trust Barometer every year that looks at the state of trust. If you look at the most recent report, it shows that trust is at an all-time low. And they identify three populations. Like, first population, politicians, perhaps no surprise. Second, media, again, perhaps no surprise. But the third population where trust is at an all-time low is with leaders. And so I wouldn't underestimate how vital it is right now that people feel that they are trusted and that they have trust in their leadership. Because if you look at the world around us, trust is at an all-time low. People don't necessarily always fully trust their employer. And these relationships have a profound impact on the type of performance you're getting out of the team, the loyalty, the retention rates. So these topics, which can sometimes sound like they sit in a very humanistic part of the world, these underpin the behavior of all of the people around you in any moment in time. And what we know in the world is it's generally at an all-time low. So we, especially in leadership, we have to work that extra bit harder to gain people's trust, because the default is to mistrust right now. So this is a top priority for me in leadership, to build that level.
Yeah, totally. It almost feels like we need to go back to basics and sort of tend to the human connection at work and the human skills, I guess, that so many of us have missed through feeling like we have to behave in a certain way at work, this sort of feeling of having to always have it together, always be this type of person. Whereas now, as you're saying, if we want to build trust, we need to really just think about how are we connecting as humans? How are we being open? How are we being empathetic? And then maybe that will get us to a new place that we can start to explore in.
Right. So generally we worry the whole time about, how do I look? What do people think about me? So if I make a mistake and I don't want to look like an idiot in front of my colleagues, I might want to try and cover that mistake or not admit it. So let's take it from the other side now. If I have a colleague and that colleague's made a mistake, but they're not admitting the mistake, they're desperately trying to not tell me they've made a mistake, do I feel greater trust in that person or less trust with them not saying it? Contrast it to someone who comes to me and says, hey, listen, I screwed that up. I'm sorry. I've made that mistake. I'll try and fix it as best I can. Which of those two people do I trust more? So there's an irony here that in trying to fight like hell to protect our reputation because we're so worried about what other people might think, actually it somehow makes us less trustworthy than if we say to someone, I'm unreliable from time to time, I do make mistakes, I am human, that person generally trusts us more. So it's somehow some sort of psychological fallacy in our head that says I should try and look as strong as I can in work. So this stuff generally, actually being vulnerable does increase levels of trust from your people in you.
I really buy that. But it's also, as a leader, if I admit mistakes to my team, won't they just respect me less?
It's a valid fear, right? You know, when you take any principle to an extreme, it starts to become a bit shaky, right? So if I'm a leader and I'm constantly saying I screw up all the time, I'm totally unreliable, well, will people trust me? Yeah, probably. You know, but that isn't where most leaders are at. you know, most leaders aren't screwing up the whole time. We're mostly doing things right. And it's simply a case of just being honest and truthful and not having the masks that we feel we have to wear. And I never quite understand what happens to people when I meet someone at lunchtime, for example, and we're chatting informally and I'm thinking, oh, this person's very conversational. They seem so friendly and warm. And then I see them perhaps briefing a team or something. And somehow they stiffen and their language changes and they honestly they become like a less nice person. Like, well, you know, what is happening there? And I think it's all of those rules that we put into our head. So yes, your credibility plays a part. And certainly I wouldn't be advocating, you know, bare your whole soul if what that reveals is, you know, I'm not very effective in my job or something. But maybe what we're saying is if you're worried about something, you can share with people, this is something that concerns me. If you don't have a particular strength or competency in a certain area, chances are your team know that. If we go to the kind of Joe Hari window thing, right, they know it. It might even be in your blind spot. But the more you can kind of own those weaknesses and say, look, I know this isn't my strongest suit and I need your support. Again, what it tends to do is give you permission and it allows the group to step in and help a bit. So, and then you're role modeling the level of openness you would be expecting from your people because you expect them to tell you that stuff. So it still has to start somewhere and that somewhere has to be the leader because essentially the leader has to be the one that takes the risk, that takes the step forward. And then depending on the level of trust you have, people will come and meet you there. And maybe that isn't one step, maybe that's a process and it takes time and the openness builds over time.
So can you ever overshare?
I've got to give an honest answer. Yes, I'm sure you can. I mean, as much as I would say bring your whole self to work, there are certain aspects of our personal lives that for very good reasons we don't always bring into the work environment. So there probably is the potential for oversharing. But I would say it's almost like a high class problem to have. You know, I'm yet to walk into a team and they go, do you know the problem with my boss? They way overshare, tells us far too much. So I suppose the starting one is for most of us, we don't share enough, right? Now, is there a potential oversharing? Yes, there are certain aspects of your life, which I think are absolutely right. They live in your private life and you probably wouldn't necessarily bring them into your teams because it might make things uncomfortable. It might be issues that are private and personal to you. But this is about speaking from the heart and being authentic. And that for me is slightly different to sharing and oversharing. This isn't really about what you talk about, like, oh, you know, good leadership is about telling your teams about your marriage and the state of it. Well, no, not really. It's about being a whole person in front of the team, about acknowledging strengths, weaknesses, emotions, and how you're feeling, and not going in with a sense that I have to put a mask on. So it's not really about the content of what you share, but rather who you are and how you are in front of your team. So that would be my guiding principle, is be you. Acknowledge what's going on for you, which might be emotional, it might be things in or out of work, but it's not about the topics you talk about, more about who you are and how you are with your teams.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.